the newest member of the Buffalo Bills, our first time meeting him. He joins us in studio, running back Treveris Cadet. Just signed to the roster last Saturday, Sunday. When was it, Treveris, last Saturday?
I want to say
Friday. Friday after the game?
Yeah, Friday.
It was over the weekend. I knew that. Yes, welcome. Sir. Thanks for coming by.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.
You joined the Bills a couple of weeks after being released by the Jets, right?
Yes, sir.
What'd you do in those few weeks?
Well, week one, I was on the street. The Saints let me go, I'll say the last preseason game. I fractured my ribs. And I had a chance to rehab. And then I went to the Jets. Actually, I had relationships with them in the offseason. I went up there on a visit. I almost signed there before I actually made my decision to come back to New Orleans. So pretty much during my time off, I just trained hard and stayed ready.
What was it like living in Jersey? Ain't that like the best state in the country, man?
I don't know about it's the best state. I don't know about it's the best state in the country.
I'm from Jersey. I just try to throw that in there every now and then.
Yeah, it's cool. It's cold.
Cold.
I mean, it's a football atmosphere. I can tell you that. It's busy. I know New York is right there. Yeah, so, yeah. I mean, a lot of traffic, a lot of people, a lot going on.
Well, you came from what many people consider a pretty good state and a pretty good football state, Florida, South Florida, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Dade County. And you went to Miami Central, which is kind of, I'm not saying it's a football factory, but a lot of good players have come out of there, right?
Oh, yes, sir. We have a great football tradition, great coaches. And Miami as a whole, I would say as a little kid growing up, you know, we kind of breed football players. The sport is taken seriously very young. And, you know, that's our way out. You know, to a better place in our lives. You know, football is all we had to kind of, you know, our branch to leave Miami with a great cause and coming back with a great cause. I mean, motivating the kids in the city to be able to go and accomplish their dream.
You know, it's always interesting to me. I know a lot of players from Florida, a lot of people from Florida now, as I play football through my years. And I know a lot of players from all throughout the state. You know, and everybody's like, oh, man, we got the best football in Tampa. We got the best football in Lauderdale, Miami, you know. So you guys from Miami, though, you know, traditionally have had a lot of talent come out of Miami, but you're very prideful about Dade County.
Most definitely. I can remember, I mean, it's just that mentality that we carry, you know. We feel like we the best in the state, and not just the state, but the world. I mean, it's a respect thing, you know. It's just, man, from young. I mean, I'm pretty sure y'all saw the U documentary. Mm-hmm. You know, you grow from young to older, you know, the sport is taken so seriously. And, like, even in between, like, the different parks, like Little League, where, like Liberty City, you got Gwen Cherry, you got Northwest Boys Club, you got Overtown. Like, we compete to be the king of the city. And, you know, that leads to – one thing leads to another. And then you see a couple of guys arguing in a circle about – well, we better than you, you know, just competition. But
sure.
Far as like another state coming in, trying to compete with us, we don't think they have a chance.
Bills running back Treveris Cadet in studio with us. At Miami Central, you were a quarterback and a good one, one of the best high school quarterbacks in the country, really, right?
Yes, sir.
Who did you – was there someone you patterned yourself after? Because you were a kind of a dual threat running passing quarterback, right?
Man, Michael Vick.
Yeah, I knew you.
I mean, I was a Michael Vick fanatic.
He was just on the show about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, sitting right here. Yeah.
I mean, I was – a big Michael Vick fan. I mean, I was left-handed. You know, you scramble. But it seemed like back in those days, if you were left-handed and you wore the 7, they compared you to Vick. But when I was young, playing park ball, guys compared me to Vick when I didn't know who he was.
Okay.
Then I kind of, like, figured out, like, wow, this guy's pretty dynamic. He's changing games, like, every Sunday. And then I would go back and watch his clips at Virginia Tech. And he was doing pretty much the same thing. He was phenomenal. So, really, like, I really looked up to him. Like, every clip I can watch of Michael Vick, I watched.
You committed to Toledo, right, in the Mid-American mm-hmm. Conference?
I committed to University of Minnesota.
Oh, really?
Yes, and then I inked with Toledo.
Okay. And what did you play at Toledo, or you were out of there quickly, right? And you had to go
I
to
red-shirted.
JUCO?
I red-shirted. What led me going to Toledo was my running back, Gordon Warner, and I had a homeboy, Kenneth Spigner, that we actually played at Northwest Boys Club in Miami.
Okay.
And we had played together since we were young. And, you know, we decided that we want to go to college together. But, of course, every college that was offering me wasn't offering them. And the colleges that was offering them weren't offering me. So my coach, Daryl Heidelberg, who's now the head coach at Miami New Orleans, he actually, his offensive coordinator, John Shannon, who coached him at Jackson State, was currently at Toledo.
Okay.
So that's how that came about. And, you know, we was like, man, we could go up here and build a powerhouse with the mentality that we had leaving from Miami. at the time, you know, that's the time in your life where you got the most confidence. You feel like you're invincible and you can go change pretty much anything, any situation. So we put our minds together and we went up there, man. You know, pretty much my heart wasn't there. You know, I kind of went there for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, I worked hard, stayed disciplined, didn't complain. You know, the coaches never knew I wanted to leave. But I knew before I even went to Toledo that I wanted to leave.
And you left there, you had to do JUCO, and then wound up at Appalachian State, right?
Yes, sir. I went to Pearl River Community College.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where is it?
Pearl River Community College. It's actually right down the street from New Orleans.
Okay.
So New Orleans was always the airport you would fly into to get there. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, when that came around, it was like, well, I'm familiar with this territory.
Now, what was that, a new school, a new JUCO?
Nah, it's been around. Actually, they have a winning tradition. It was led by Tim Hatton. I think they won 04 and 05 or something like that.
And what was it like in JUCO? What was it like to have to transfer? Now, I went to JUCO first. Right. And then went to my school. I ended up going to Youngstown.
Right. Youngstown State.
Yeah, exactly. But you went to Toledo and then had to transfer down. What was that like?
I mean, if I didn't transfer down to Toledo, I wouldn't be here right now. I wouldn't be in the league because that was a time that I was able to mature more and more as a man and think about some of the small things I was doing wrong in my life in order to make that transition. Because coming out of high school, you couldn't tell me I wasn't finna do 3 years and out. You know what I mean? I wanted to be in the NFL like Michael Vick at 20. Mm-hmm. Like, I wanted to have that success young. But, you know, every man's path is not the same. So, actually, my junior college coach benched me. That really opened my eyes. Because now I'm on a lower level. You know, you go to a lower level, you're expecting to start.
Oh, yeah.
I go to JUCO. I was playing quarterback at the time. You know, Tim Haddon benched me. He moved me to receiver. And then I was kind of like in a rotation, but I didn't have the success I planned on having. Mm-hmm. But like, you know, in Mississippi, like during the weekends, everybody go home who go JUCO. And mostly the school is predominantly like people from Mississippi.
Yeah.
We only had like maybe 10 out of staters or something like that. So we're battling each other for those 8 spots on the roster. And like on a weekend, I didn't have a car. I didn't have no money. You know, I was pretty much broke. So every time I got bored, I just wanted to go work out. So I was just carving and carving, really perfecting my craft, like just out there on the weekends in the middle of nowhere by myself. You know, you're in the country, so it's not very many stores around. Mm-hmm. So the only thing you could do is think about life, what you're doing wrong, how you can correct it, and really going out on the field every day perfecting your craft. Because that's the only thing that would delete time. Because all of you is just going to sit in a room all day and just pass out.
Sure.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So during those times, and then I was dealing with adversity. Like, my JUCO coach, it came to a point, he's going to send me home. Like, I was going to make the top 8. So, I mean, I had that to work out, and then had that pressure pushing me. And then he had a vision for me to come back because I was young, because I was trying to do 1 year and get out.
Yeah.
His vision for me was to do 2 years, you know, and then transfer. But I was like, nah, I'm going to try to leave if I can. And leaving JUCO, I only had one offer. I went to Kansas State. Kansas State told me they wouldn't offer me before I came. So really I had one offer, and that was Appalachian State. And it was the perfect fit. Back then I didn't know it. I know it was a great program, but pretty much that prevailed me. And then meeting Jerry Moore at App State really lifted my game to another level.
When did you stop being a quarterback and start being a running back, receiver, everything else?
Well, in junior college, Tim Hatton moved me to receiver.
Yeah. Okay.
When I got to Appalachian State, I was asked to be kind of like an athlete.
Yeah.
Played numerous positions. Armani Edwards, he cut his foot mowing his lawn. And I was asked to move back to quarterback. So me and DeAndre Presley actually battled it out. And they gave the nod to him. But then against East Carolina, I come in the middle of the game, bring us back. And then I finished. But then Armani Edwards was coming back the next week. So he came back and he was starting. Then he kind of like just had me all over the place, just trying to get me the ball in certain situations. My junior year, and I played permanent that year, my junior year, we were in camp. I was starting at slot. Ended up breaking my thumb, so I couldn't catch the ball. All our running backs, Devin Moore, Cedric Baker, all those guys, Rod Chisholm, all of them had concussions. Well, Devin Moore tore his quad, and the other two had concussions. And our running back coach, Coach Moore, Lil Mo, he was like, can you play running back? I was like, I can do it. Not going, not go out that run for 150 yards. And it was all she wrote.
What are you now? Seriously, I don't know. You've caught more passes, right? You've caught more passes than actual carries as a running back in the league, right?
I mean, coming into the league, you know, having interviews with different teams, they view me different. My coach Mike Kent and Kareem Young, they both told me, like, well, most teams looking at you as a slot receiver. You know, I met with some teams, they said, no, you're a running back, right? So it's kind of like, well, I mean, where do I fit in? I don't know what I'm going to be, right? But Coach Kent always told me more on the receiver side. So I was like, well, is there any offenses in the league that I can look at that's similar to what we have at App State? Because, you know, a lot of people would transition the college offenses over to the league anyway. And I never really thought of New Orleans, but it was the perfect fit, mm-hmm. right? But, of course, it's a draft board. You have no control over where
sure.
you go.
Yeah.
So I was like, you know what, when I was training in Atlanta with Chip Smith, I was kind of like just pretty much working out at running back and working out at receiver, just trying to make sure I'm ready for both, mm-hmm. which I had really done that throughout my college career. And you know, I didn't get drafted. Actually, Buffalo called me, I believe, in the 7th round. Miami did, I think, the 5th through the 6th or whatnot. And, you know, pretty much I had met with the Saints at the Battle of Florida game, probably like 1 a.m. in the morning. And it was like, you know, we like you. You know, we don't have many picks. You know, we faced with some adversity off the field. I mean, on the field, which turned into off the field. I mean, you know, the penalty they had with the bounty and everything. And I never knew that was going to be the team I was going to be signing with. So after the draft, that was the first team that called me.
And you spent some good time there, put up some good numbers. What do you think they have in mind for you here with the Buffalo Bills in terms of position or role that you might play?
Right now, I'm just trying to get the playbook down. But I think they're going to use me similar to the way I was used in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. It could be different. You know what I mean? I mean, in New Orleans, I didn't really run the ball that much. I felt I could have more. But I was really used in the passing game, and that's what the league kind of labeled me as.
Yeah,
so.
Like as a – third down third back down or back, yeah. slot, or what do you think?
I mean, for the most part, I said third down back or slot. I mean, it's my rookie year in New Orleans, they moved me to receiver full time, mm-hmm. you know, and actually I had came back to running back in that role, that kind of like that hybrid role when Sproles broke his hand. Mm-hmm. So they could always view me as mostly a receiver. Like in New Orleans, even though I ran the ball, I didn't run the ball that much, but I pretty much did both, but mostly on the receiving end.
Like, I can see why coaches might want to have a guy like you around, you know, because of your versatility. We can do a lot of different things with this guy, you would think.
Yeah, I mean, week to week in New Orleans, like with Coach Payton, he's very creative. You know, I pretty much can strike from anywhere. You know, one week I'll be playing outside, slot. You know, I'll be more in the backfield. You know, a different specialty plays or whatnot. But it was exciting to see week to week what he had in mind. But
you feel like moving around so much, playing in the slot, then going in the backfield, then playing outside, you never really had a chance to really perfect one position?
Right.
You feel that way?
I feel that way in a sense. But, you know, one thing I've learned in this league is you got to understand who you are.
Yeah.
And what you do well and what you don't do well. And I'm a guy that kind of looks at things from a depth, you know, from a depth perspective and just seeing what's kept me around mm-hmm. and what's going to keep me around and what I'm good at and what I'm not good at. My weaknesses is for me to go work on in the off season. So when a coach looks at me as a player and say, well, we want to put him in this area, you know, so he can succeed and help the team in this way. And then maybe a play or two, I may get caught up on a play he really don't want me in on, mm-hmm. and I have some production. He may say, oh, well, maybe he can do this well as well. Right. So,
hey, after we got to let you go, but after all that time with the Saints that you spent in your career, and they're coming up here, of course, Sunday,
right.
How do you think they'll fare in 40-degree temperature? Are they still a dome team that thrives in the dome, or can they handle cold and a little bit of rain here this Sunday?
I mean, it's going to be a test, definitely going to be a test for them. When I think back, I think, you know, back in New Orleans, at times we've handled outside games well, and sometimes they didn't. I mean, we didn't. So it's definitely going to be a test. You know, being that precipitation is definitely a factor this week. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, they're going to have to get ready for it, and we'll see what happens.
I hope so. I hope we'll see. Hey, thanks for coming by. We know you've had a busy couple of days. Thanks for spending a few minutes with us.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Thanks for having me.